and welcome to today's episode. I'm excited for you to be able to hear from my guest today, who has a message, and I believe a very, very important mission in helping people understand grief, but also understand how to walk with those who grieve. And I know this subject matter is very near and dear to my heart as I've walked through my own grief experiences. And I think that this is a subject that we need to talk more about so that we can really not only walk through our own grief journey and come out healthier, whole, stronger, with more compassion, but also to walk beside those who are also grieving. So my guest today is Shirley Thiessen, and I'll formally introduce you to her. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
So nice to have you here. So let me just formally introduce you to the listeners here today. So Shirley is the founder of Corner Bend Grief Ministries, and she's the author of The Little Black Funeral Dress, an international speaker, and she's obsessed with the fact that no one should have to grieve alone. I love that. Shirley lives in Calgary, just in my neck of the woods here, not too far from where I live, with her husband, Carrie, and their greatest joy is being grandparents to Jameson. And they have two adult children, and Chantel lives in Calgary with her husband, and Jordan lives in heaven. So it sounds like you have your experience as well, your grief experience as well. Shirley, I would love it if you would, first of all, as a way of our listeners understanding more about who you are and how you came to start this ministry, how you came to be so passionate about this subject.
I'd be happy to. Well, in order to do that, I need to bring you into my story, probably starting in the year 2012. Okay. And at that time, my daughter and son were both students at university together in BC. Mm-hmm. And I just had a hunch that it was going to be a particularly significant year for my son, Jordan. Mm-hmm. He was the older one, and he was going to be graduating soon. And sure enough, in that January, he proposed to his girlfriend, Elise. And we were so excited to add another family member. Mm-hmm. And then April, they both graduated. Then they were married in October. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this is just so exciting to watch this couple who love Jesus and had so much to look forward to. Well, only a few days after the wedding, my husband and I went to California for a vacation. And like you do with your kids, we had invested so much love, time, prayer, energy, and money into this kid. Yeah. Now Jordan was happily married, gainfully employed, and off our payroll. Like, life was great. Well, just 4 days into that vacation, I decided to go to a department store to buy just one item for our kitchen. Mm-hmm. And my goal was to make it a quick trip, just in and out. But as I walked into the store, I was quickly distracted by a rack of dresses on clearance. So forgetting that I was in a hurry, I went and had a quick look. And there was a black dress that stood out to me. And I admired it, but it wasn't my size. I didn't need a dress. I put it back. And as I did, I heard the words, "I want you to buy that black dress going to a funeral." Well, my head whipped around to see who said that. Hmm. There were people in the store, but no one was near me. Mm-hmm. Before I knew it, I'm in the change room, standing in front of a full-length mirror, wearing the dress. It fit so well. It felt comfortable. But my rational thought was this: I don't know anyone who has recently died. Like, I have no funeral to attend. Besides, I already have a black dress in my closet. But that message repeated, "I want you to buy that black dress. You are going to a funeral." I bought the dress, unsure to whose funeral I was meant to wear it. Well, I didn't have long to wait. Just a couple hours after that shopping trip, a California police officer was at the door of our condo. Within seconds, my worst nightmare became reality. Our 23-year-old son, married 12 days, had been killed in a workplace accident.
Wow.
At that moment, I thought, wait a minute, that black dress, the one I had just purchased. Now I knew to whose funeral I was meant to wear it. And you know, the verse that came to my mind that day was Deuteronomy 31:8 that says, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And you know, wearing that black dress gave me courage. A tribute to my son at his funeral, my darkest day.
Wow. That is so powerful how the Lord subtly prepared you.
Absolutely.
So that was back in 2012, correct?
Yes.
Correct, 2012. And now, many years later, you are passionate, still passionate about helping others grieve well, but really to know that they don't have to grieve alone. What can you tell us a bit about your journey and how you came to the place you are today?
Yeah, well, you know, I wish I could tell you that I continue to trust God with my heartache. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just a significant part of God demonstrating his love for me in my darkest time.
Mm-hmm.
However, as the fog of my loss started to lift in the coming weeks and months after the funeral, it just hit me like, wait a minute, the rest of my earthly life is going to be without Jordan. Like, I know I'm going to see him again in heaven, and that's wonderful. But selfishly, like, I want him here right now. I'm not prepared to live the rest of my earthly life without my son. And I started to spiral into resentment, bitterness, rage. And it was an ugly place to be. And one day, some dear friends of ours brought me a sign from a decor store. And it says, be the kind of woman that when your feet hit the floor each morning, the devil says, oh, crap, she's... And you know, that sign made me chuckle, but it also was kind of like a wake up moment for me, because I had to ask myself, am I really that kind of woman? Am I living in a trust relationship with Jesus, or am I just in despair? And that's exactly where the enemy wants us, in despair, in hopelessness, in feeling like I have no purpose left. That's it. And so I became very aware that I had a decision to make, as all of us do when we're in pain. We can either choose to be bitter and resentful, or we can choose to say, God, I don't understand this plan, and frankly, I don't like it. But I'm going to choose to invite you, or to recycle this pain for your good purpose, as I trust you. And so that was kind of the moment, that defining moment where I changed directions, and I decided that I wanted to lean into what God had for me. And honestly, he brought us an opportunity to share my story, my little black dress, on a video that was shared on Mother's Day, my very first Mother's Day without Jordan. And as I got feedback and emails, the first comment that really kind of made me aware that, wait a minute, God is going to use this pain, was a woman who said, thank you for being so vulnerable about your pain and how you're choosing to trust God with it. You've given me courage to trust God with my pain.
Wow.
And that was my aha moment, where I thought, this is not about me being ready or being polished or being farther along my grief journey where I could be used. God is willing to use us right now, as saying yes to when he asks us to do something difficult. Because sharing my story, it was very, very raw and difficult, especially at the beginning. But I thought, okay, this is about me recycling my pain. And so it took still a few years after that, 2019, when I finally, I felt like God was saying, it's time to leave your career as a fundraiser and start a nonprofit where you're going to help equip others to know how to walk alongside those who grieve. because in hindsight, I realized that I did not know how to support my grieving friends. And it wasn't until I heard the platitudes, the things we often say to someone who's grieving, I heard them, the things that I used to say, and I'm going, this hurts. That is not helpful. And so I thought, why is that? I've grown up in the church my whole life. How come I didn't know how to support those who grieve? Mm-hmm. Other than, Lord, please comfort my grieving friend.
Yeah.
And having a kind of a checklist. You know, I go to the funeral. I'll bring some baking. I'll send a sympathy card. But I didn't realize that their grief just basically starts at the funeral. It goes long after. And people need our support ongoing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's so true. And I can totally relate to that as well, as you and I were talking before we get on the air here, that my first husband passed away, went to be with the Lord too early in his life in terms of, you know, from our perspective, which leaving me as a widow and young mom of three kids. And I can relate to what you're saying in terms of the pain of words that people would say, well-meaning people trying to comfort, trying to come alongside, but didn't really know how to do it. And it wasn't helpful. and it shocked me too, but it also, I love what you said there, made me aware, wow, okay, this is an area that is so important to know how to do, is to grieve with those who are grieving, like it says in the scriptures, to grieve with those who are grieving.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. And you know, it's not rocket science, but people like me who maybe were low in the empathy and compassion, I needed to be taught what is helpful and what isn't helpful. And so I came up with an acrostic LAP, L-A-P-P, that I write about in my book, The Little Black Funeral Dress, where four simple things that people, and I call them hope heroes. These are the friends that really knew how to lend me hope when mine was leaking out. They were the ones who had the courage to kind of enter the messiness and confusion I felt. And when I was not talking to God, they were praying on my behalf. But they did four things that I noticed that were so significant. And I wish someone had taught this to me. And so if you're okay, I'll just quickly go through the four.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
So LAP, L-A-P-P. So the first one, L is for listen. You know, when there's been a tragedy, there's no words to fix it. There's no Bible verse that you can slap on and make everything better. That grieving person needs you to listen, to bear witness to their sorrow. And it's a lost art, actually, in this day and age. But there's a reason why I think God gave us two ears and only one mouth. And that is, we need to listen. And so that means not interrupting them, not correcting them, not judging them, but just listening with empathy and kindness, even asking follow-up questions that were kind and curious about their loss. So listen is the first one. And the second one is acknowledge the loss. This means validate that their pain is worthy of your empathy and compassion. I'm wearing a scarf that my sister made, and she calls them Jordan Eternity Scarves. And she made 40 of them, and she sold them to different friends. And that money was used to create a scholarship at the university that Jordan attended. And it was a way for her to validate that my pain is so real. And she suddenly, I've got this, all these friends wearing this scarf. And every time they do, it's like them saying, we miss him too. And that just is a beautiful way to acknowledge my loss. Just one small example.
Beautiful.
And then the first P is pray. And of course, that's an obvious one for those of us who are Christians. But I think I realize there is so much to be praying about. our enemy, Satan, is an opportunist.
Mm-hmm.
And he will bait us with lies like, oh, God must not love you. Look what he's allowed to happen in your life, all this pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really pray that our grieving friends will turn towards God with their pain and heartache and not away from him.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more. One thing my husband and I realized that as a couple, we grieve so differently. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a point of contention in a marriage. And so praying for the relationships in a family of even my daughter, she was grieving differently from the two of us. And it's so important to be praying God's protection over those relationships. And there's so much more I could say about prayer, but that's the first P. And then the last P is patiently be present. Mm-hmm. Now, there's lots of misconception about grief. And one is that it's kind of wrapped up in a year or so.
Mm.
That is so not true. Grief is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so to keep checking in, to keep asking kind questions like, what do you miss most about Jordan today? I know it's been 10 years or 11 years has passed, but what do you miss most about him today?
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to be patiently present. It's continuing to recognize that this is not something that disappears, this pain. It is always there.
Yeah.
And to stay with them and mention their loved one by name is huge. It's a way we can stay patiently present.
True. Yeah. It's so true. I love what you said there about just asking those questions to acknowledge the importance of that person in our life. And even though they're not present on the earth anymore, they still hold a place in our memory. They still hold a place in our heart and in our life, really, in our history. And so just by saying their name, acknowledging is so powerful.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So how did you move from despair to hope after your son died? What was kind of, I know you talked about how you came to an aha about how you need to help others, but was there a moment where, or this, was it the lap that helped you do that? What was it that helped you move from despair? And I'm specifically thinking about someone who may be listening today, who's in despair.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes to two things. The first one is a decision that you make to say, I'm going to lean into Jesus with my pain. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the way I could have that courage to actually choose that was I had a number of family and friends who were hope heroes to me. Mm-hmm. They were kind of those people that came around and lent me hope, let me courage when I felt like I had none. And they believed for me when I couldn't believe that there could be a mm-hmm. better day coming.
Yeah.
And so I have seen how significant it is to have grief companions, those hope heroes that can, mm-hmm. that are committed to walk this with you. And so those special people, they were so significant. They were the sweet gift from God saying, I am with you. My presence is actually manifested in those sweet friends.
Wow.
And so that's why I think we need to take this so seriously as Christ followers. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the law of Christ, love God and love people. Mm-hmm. And so that is carrying each other's burdens is how we love. And empathy. Empathy really is love made obvious.
Hmm. Beautiful.
And so we need each other. God wired us for community. And so I used to think that grief is really a private matter. It's best dealt with all alone. I didn't realize how desperately I would need others
mm-hmm.
to help carry this burden with me. And I'm so grateful that there were people that God gave me mm-hmm. that even now, 11 years later, they're still with me.
So powerful. Yes. And where the enemy wants to isolate us and keep us separate is all the more reason, both for those walking with someone who's grieving, to continually invite them into community, continually engage with them, and to help them to stay in community as well, I think is so important. Moving from despair to hope, to recognize that this is such an important subject. Thank you so much, Shirley, for offering that. And I love the acronym LAP, as well as the Hope Heroes. I love that term. That's a great way to identify the people in our life that are like messengers of hope that God puts in our life to bring us back to a different perspective on the grief that we may be experiencing, the process that we may be walking through. I know that I'm just going to bring up your book here for people to see. Let me just do that right now so they can have a look at it.
It's a short book. It's only 93 pages, and that's very intentional. Mm-hmm. Because those who are grieving, we have a very short attention span. It's difficult to read. And yet I wanted to kind of get to the point and give people something to hang on to and some hope and encouragement.
Mm-hmm. The Little Black Funeral Dress, Five Things I Wish I Had Known About Grief. And so if someone wanted to get this book, where can they go?
Yeah, go to ShirleyThiessen.com, my website. You can purchase it right there, and I'd be happy to send it to you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Shirley. Any final words that you want to leave with our listeners as we close out here today?
Well, I wanted to share something that might sound really counterintuitive, but it is a secret sauce to a grieving heart being able to move forward, and that is serving others. Mm. I know it sounds like crazy when you think you're in pain and you can hardly get up and have a shower and make a meal yourself, but when God points out someone who you can actually be an encouragement to, who you can send a text and say, I'm thinking about you and your loss, just that little piece of looking up and noticing others and serving others is really the secret sauce to our own self-care as we're grieving. And I promise you, that is a beautiful way to move through your loss.
Hmm. Wow, that is counterintuitive for most. And, you know, it's all focused on me in terms of what I need, but the power of being able to serve others in that time of grief, I love that. That's such a powerful tip for those who might find themselves in this place right now. Thank you again, Shirley, for this conversation. I champion what you do. I thank you for what you call recycling your grief and your pain for a purpose that honors your son, Jordan, as well as helps others to be able to navigate their grief journey and help others in their life navigate theirs, so that we all come out to a place of health and wholeness. And, you know, someone once said to me, when I was in the depths of my dark grief time, was, you will never get over it, but you will get through it. Mm-hmm. And it is true. It stays with you in terms of the person stays with you, but as well as just the depth of the pain and the sorrow, but it doesn't debilitate you. Debilitate. I can't remember that word. Debilitate. There you go. And that's what I hear you saying, is helping people to walk through in a place where it comes out, they come out shining, and they testify of the goodness of God in that place. So thank you so much, Shirley. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Share this episode with your friends and family, those who you know either are in their own grief journey or who are walking with those in a grief journey, to be able to have the tools to be able to walk alongside and to be those hope heroes, and to just to be able to spread, give God's love in a very tangible ways as well. So thank you, everyone. I look forward to connecting with you in the next time. Have a wonderful day. As you're listening today, you may have felt prompted to say, I want to become a much better speaker. I want to be able to speak with confidence, clarity, and transformational impact. I want to invite you to check out the link in the comments below, wherever you're listening to this. Your voice is an instrument of transformation and needs to be heard. So let it be heard.